From Washington, this is VOA News. I'm David Byrd reporting. A 26-year-old Iraq war veteran who opened fire in a crowded Florida airport Friday could face the death penalty for killing five people and wounding six others. Esteban Santiago has been charged with an act of violence at an international airport resulting in death. That brings a possible penalty of execution. Santiago told investigators he had flown to Fort Lauderdale from Anchorage, Alaska, specifically to carry out the shooting. Anchorage FBI Special Agent in Charge Marlon Ritzman said there's no indication Santiago was working with anyone else in the Alaskan city. Anchorage Police Chief Chris Tolley said his department is cooperating with federal authorities to find out why Santiago opened fire.
The investigation continues, and we are working tirelessly to assist our law enforcement partners from the Broward County Sheriff's Department and the FBI.
Santiago, a former Alaska and Puerto Rico National Guardsman, had a handgun in his checked baggage. He retrieved the gun, loaded it, and started shooting in the baggage claim area Friday. President-elect Donald Trump posted a series of tweets calling those who oppose good ties with Russia stupid and fools. Saturday, the president-elect said having good relations with Russia was not a bad thing and that only stupid people or fools would think that it is bad. Trump added that Russia would respect the United States more when he is president. The posts come after a U.S. intelligence report said that Russian President Vladimir Putin had made a concerted effort, including using computer hacks, fake news, and propaganda to disrupt the U.S. election, discredit Hillary Clinton, and undermine Americans' faith in the democratic process. This is VOA News. At least 48 people were killed Saturday when a car bomb exploded near Syria's border with Turkey. The Britain-based Syrian Observatory for Human Rights said the explosion, possibly from a tanker truck bomb, happened Saturday in a busy marketplace in the rebel-held town of Azaz. Video from the scene showed flattened, burning buildings and wounded locals struggling to escape the immediate blast area. Local activists said the death toll was as high as 60, and search and rescue teams scrambled to locate survivors hours after the blast. In separate developments, government forces near Damascus pressed forward with an offensive in the Barada Valley aimed at pushing rebels and jihadists from territory that supplies the capital city with water. The Observatory for Human Rights said at least 9 people were killed on the outskirts of Damascus. Mutinous soldiers in Ivory Coast have released the country's defense minister and several other officials after holding them captive in Bouake. Alain Richard Duvahi was flown into Bouake earlier Saturday in a bid to defuse a crisis sparked by soldiers taking to the streets demanding bonuses, pay raises, housing, and faster promotion. Soldiers had surrounded the house where Duvahi was meeting a delegation of mutineers, firing their rifles in the air and demanding they be paid immediately. President Alassane Ouattara had earlier in the evening announced that a deal had been reached between the two sides and asked the soldiers to return to their barracks. Soldiers had taken over Bouake on Friday, and the dispute had spread to the country's commercial capital, Abidjan, and other towns. Ghana celebrated the inauguration of a new president on Saturday, with Nana Akufo-Addo sworn in a peaceful handoff of power. The new president told thousands gathered in Accra's Independent Square his aim is to make his country prosperous and to benefit his people.
The doors of Ghana are open again. The shutters are up again. There could not be a better opportunity to make in Ghana and to make it in Ghana.
The 72-year-old Akufo-Addo won December's election, his third try for the presidency, by defeating incumbent John Dramani Mahama with the largest margin of victory for a presidential candidate since 1996. Snow and sleet pounded a huge section of the United States Saturday, with thousands of people losing power and blizzard-like conditions from the Carolinas to Boston. The winter weather brought snow to towns unaccustomed to it, with up to 20 centimeters of snow in Raleigh, North Carolina. The website FlightAware.com said that more than 3,200 flights were canceled in the storm's path. I'm David Byrd in Washington.
That's the latest world news from VOA.